From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of August, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, it looks like the pending free trade agreements will be the top of the Senate's agenda in September. The U.S. trade gap has widened to its largest spread since 2008, and John Deere & Company is being investigated for some interesting financial dealings in Russia. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you about Goss's wilt in the Corn Belt. It's a bacterial disease, and there are no rescue treatments to be had. But a few things the producer can do prior to next season. Hey, it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The wheat futures were down in the nearby contracts down in deferred contracts. The nearby September actually a gainer today, up 1.25 at 7.02.5. December on out were lower, 0.75 lower at 7.32.25 for the December, and July of next year at 7.83.25, down 8.5 cents. The July hard red in Kansas City at $8.28 finished 13 cents lower today. Corn pit now September contract back in Chicago, 7.01.75, 0.75 cents lower. December at 7.14.5, up 0.5. March at 7.27.5, 0.75 higher. May futures at 7.32, the corn pit up 1. July at 7.34.5, 1.5 cents higher. And December of next year at $6.42.5, up 4.5 cents. August soybeans, $13.37, 3.25 higher. September at 13.27.75, up 3. November beans at 13.34 3/4, 3 higher. January at 13.45 3/4, up 3 cents as well. And November of next year at 13.06 3/4, 5.5 higher. Bean meal at 3.48.60, up 1.40. Bean oil at 54.60, 57 cents higher. October live cattle at 120.45, up 92.5. September feeders at 137.52.5 for the day, $1.22.5 higher. October there at 138.70, up 137.5. And the October lean hogs today, $89.47.5, up $1.37.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. September crude oil futures, $85.19 a barrel, 53 cents lower. Ethanol at 278.5, that's 0.8 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.06, down 4.8 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel just about unchanged at 289.9. Gold futures at $1,740.20 an ounce, finished $8.60 lower. The Dow now at 11,264, just about 121 points higher. The dollar at 74.6. down 0.06, and the CRB index on the day at 326.53, 0.19 higher for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the weekend and parts of next week in Urbana-Champaign looks like this now. Partly sunny skies, a high of 83 degrees today. South-southeast winds at about 8 miles an hour tonight. Showers and thunderstorms likely. They'll come mainly after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 64 degrees. South-southeast winds at about 7 miles an hour. The chance of precip this evening across the region, 70%. Saturday night, a chance of showers before 1 a.m. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms likely. Mostly cloudy, a high of 79. South-southwest winds at 6 to 10, chance of precip at 70%. Saturday night, that chance of precip will stay through about 1 a.m. at about 30%, mostly cloudy, a low of 64. And then Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 78 degrees. North-northwest winds at 7 to 14, gusting to 17. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 59. Monday, sunny and a high of 80. Monday night, cloudy, a low of 61. Tuesday, sunny and a high of 83. Tuesday night, cloudy, a low of 66 degrees. Wednesday should show us mostly sunny skies and a high of 86 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel, Illinois State Water Survey, state climatologist.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Time to check the commodity markets and the futures with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. What a turbulent week it has been. Mike, tell me about your view of what happened in not only in Chicago, but in New York.
I guess, Todd, with Friday closing out the way it did, it still seemed like there was a lack of confidence and a lack of conviction that the trade seemed like they wanted to trade more of the spreads and felt more secure trading spreads instead of flat price. The volume seemed very, very low on Friday. I think there's probably two things that pushed out the idea that we could go higher today. Probably the first thing was the consumer sentiment numbers, and that's where the New York market comes back into play. It hit a number that we haven't seen since May of 1980 in terms of what consumers feel. And this was talked about quite a bit on the financial news. One of the comments in particular on this survey was that two-thirds of all consumers reported that the economy had worsened, and just one in five people anticipated any better economic conditions in the year ahead. And I think the trade really kind of deflated sentiment-wise after that. And you could see that with the crude oil and the copper. We closed crude down a third week in a row. Copper went negative. Earlier in the session, those two were both fighting back pretty nicely, and I think they helped support the wheat and the bean market in particular. So I think, generally speaking, we never got any traction because we never got any confidence and conviction. I think maybe what we're doing now is waiting on the weather for the soybeans over the weekend. That seemed to be a talking point today. Also waiting to see which way the wheat wants to go after the report yesterday. That seemed to be another talking point when it came to the grains. There are a lot of economic numbers next week. We've got housing starts, capacity utilization, PPI, CPI, and we've also got existing home sales. So maybe what we're looking for is something in the early next week time period to generate some buying.
You've had about 30 hours or so to take in and look at and review and consult and talk about yesterday morning's USDA crop production and MOSD figures. Anything in your mind change over that last 30 hours as you looked at the numbers?
No, not really. In fact, I don't really go out on a limb very much. I try and be pretty conservative in the analysis. And to me, between the outside markets gelling and the fact that, yes, crude oil was down this past week, but it was about $10 a barrel off its lows. Some of the major technical indicators in the outside markets are coming around nicely. And when I looked at the report and those micro supply and demand fundamentals, I think a lot came together this week, and I think fundamentally and technically we're about the best in terms of situation with both technicals and fundamentals underneath us, probably the best I've seen in probably a month or a month and a half. So I have pretty high expectations for the next couple weeks.
For which commodities?
I would say primarily the corn and the beans, but that the wheat will follow. And I think the wheat can follow because the Gulf price of wheat, especially the soft red wheat at our Gulf, is right within $5 to $10 of the Black Sea wheat. And I think what I've seen is a trend of increased buying of Ukrainian and former Soviet Union wheat and Black Sea wheat, and that's added to the prices over there. And so we're getting much, much more competitive. And I think that takes the pressure off the corn, quite frankly. So I'm looking at the wheat as a supportive instrument in this, but I really see the corn and the beans. And this goes back to some of those weekly agriculture index fund charts that I track and some of the outright index fund charts that I track, like the Dow Jones UBS and the S&P Goldman Sachs. Both those weekly charts are above their 50-week moving average again, for the first time since early July, and in some cases even early June. So we're at places we haven't seen for quite some time, and it's very healthy, technically speaking.
Are you thinking that if the general rainfall comes across a good portion of the Midwest Friday night into Saturday, and it is in that inch and a quarter range, that it will put pressure on the marketplace on Monday, or has it already been built in? And what happens if it does not show up?
I think part of that has already been built in. I think that what we have here is a situation that the weather comes in bearish, but we still see the commodity trading funds want to turn long on technicals, that will override the weather in the short term. It may limit the upside eventually, and in the case of the beans in particular, that 41.4 that the USDA gave us yesterday may actually be a gift, because if we do change the weather pattern nicely and we get a wide range of rains and we get 2 inches of rain this next week, then we probably will put some bushels onto the beans, I suspect. And I think that maybe that rally then will be a place to start hedging again in the beans. So to answer your question the other way, if we don't get the rains, I do think that the market will need to react to that with the idea that we can't really lose any more than a 41.4 yield at this point.
What are we hearing out of the Delta region and the southern growing regions of the United States? They should be close to beginning harvest season for corn.
I haven't focused that much on that this week. I have heard out of the producers I work with down there that the corn yields were disappointing as expected, but I haven't heard much out of the beans, to be quite frank with you.
Okay. What else do you want to talk about for the afternoon before I let you go?
The only other thing I think that needs to be talked about is we did see the European and the Chinese weather come back on the radar screen, but I think maybe the market is also putting that back in the shadows for now. But I think the Chinese weather is starting to draw some attention. You notice that the USDA came in and cut the Chinese bean production about 300,000 metric tons. Well, and that was to 14 million tons. What happened then today was the Chinese government actually came out and cut their production even further to 13.5 million tons. So over there, we might be seeing a small crop get smaller as well, and I think that's probably going to have to come back and play into the markets as well.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org or by dialing this number, 217-333-3434.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says pending free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea will be near the top of his to-do list when Congress comes back to Washington in September following the August recess. Speaking with reporters, Reid said he expects first to hold a vote on a bill overhauling the U.S. patent system on September 6th, the first day senators return, followed by action on the stalled trade deals soon afterwards. Earlier this month, Reid and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said they had agreed on a path forward that would result in the three FTAs receiving a vote in the Senate. The U.S. trade gap widened in June to its largest since October of 2008 as both U.S. imports and exports declined in a sign of slowing global demand. The June trade deficit leapt to $53.1 billion, surprising analysts who expected it to narrow to $48 billion. U.S. exports fell for a second consecutive month to $170.9 billion as shipments to Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Central America, France, China, and Japan all declined. Farm equipment manufacturer Deere & Company is under investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission for possible violations of the foreign bribery law. The company received an inquiry from regulators last month regarding payments made in Russia and nearby countries. The probe is looking at whether the payments fell afoul of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, a 1977 law that bars companies from paying bribes to foreign officials. An SE spokesperson declined to comment. Deere said in a statement that the company received a voluntary request from the SEC on July 25th to produce documents relating to Deere's activities as well as those of third parties in certain foreign companies. A draft proposal from the European Commission calls for Europe's biggest farms to have their EU agricultural subsidies capped at $426,000 a year. The plan would cut the current $56.8 billion annual bill for direct farm subsidies by at least $3.55 billion. But it is likely to face opposition from countries with large landholders, such as Britain, Germany, and the Czech Republic. EU governments rejected a similar cap in a 2007 reform of the Common Agricultural Policy. Other proposals in the draft European Commission reform include making a third of EU direct subsidies contingent on farmers meeting new environmental goals and ensuring that only active farmers are eligible for support. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And next week of one of our Ag Outlook meetings, Dave and I will be on the road on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings of next week. With our Ag Outlook meetings on Tuesday, Dave will be at the Douglas County Farm Bureau building in Tuscola at 6 o'clock. There's a dinner. 6:45 is the free Outlook meeting. On that meeting, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, along with Chuck Shelby. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. That's Tuesday evening in Tuscola at the Douglas County Farm Bureau building. The Outlook panel starts at 6:45. And then on the 17th, that's Wednesday night, I'll be at the Lions Club building. That's on East North 9th Street in Shelbyville, Illinois. This one's sponsored by the Shelby County State Bank. Daryl Good and Pete Manhart and Matt Bennett will be there along with me for one of our Ag Outlook meetings. That's at the Lions Club building in Shelbyville on Wednesday night next week. During the day, Thursday, I'll host the Agronomy Day event right here on this campus. That starts at 7 a.m. Be sure you come for that one as well. Be sending the rack wagons into the fields as usual so you can talk to the the faculty members and academicians that have been working on the kinds of research that hopefully will be helping you out in your fields. That's Thursday, Agronomy Day on this campus. And then on Thursday evening, you can catch up with Dave. He'll be in El Paso at the El Paso Golf Course Clubhouse. This one's sponsored by the Heartland Bank and Trust Company out of El Paso. Jackie Bakes there, Mike Zuzolo, and Kurt Kimmel. That one starts with a light dinner at 6 and then a 7 o'clock panel. So it's a busy week next week. Visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org for all of the details. Now up next, Illinois farmers are reporting more Goss's wilt in their field than ever before. I'll have more on reports of this disease and that, frankly, there's nothing a farmer can do this season. Goss's wilt is a bacterial disease of corn typically found on the Western Plains. It's not a fungus and cannot be treated with a fungicide. The disease has been showing up in northern and central Illinois cornfields a lot more than usual this year, although there is no clear-cut reason for why that's the case, says University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Carl Bradley.
Anytime we're starting to see an increase in diseases, it's likely due to the fact that this pathogen was introduced at some point in time, and there's always kind of a phase where the pathogen has to build up, and I think we're kind of past that stage, and now we must have a much more inoculum out there, and the conditions were right for the disease to be expressed quite a bit this year.
Goss's wilt this year can look a bit like the leaf drop caused by the hot weather. Both cause leaves to dry out.
Even though it's called Goss's wilt, what we typically see first are some of the leaf blight, phase of the disease, which is causes lesions on the leaves, lesions with wavy margins. Within those lesions, we might see what we call freckles, which would just be dark spots, black to dark green spots in those. And then on the margins of the leaves as well, or the margins of the lesions, we'll see some water soaking, kind of a water soaking appearance. And we may see the bacteria actually oozing out in those lesions. If you look at it correctly in the sunlight, you may see kind of a shimmer to those lesions, which would indicate it might be Goss's wilt.
Goss's wilt is visible on both sides of the leaf and can be found up and down the plant, but likes the centermost portion of the stalk, closer to the ear than the tassel or the ground. Because it's a bacterial disease, it typically requires a wound to get into the plant. These can be caused by a hail or high winds or just machinery making a pass through the field. There is no rescue treatment for Goss's wilt. Carl Bradley and his colleagues at Illinois are searching some 1,200 inbred corn lines for resistance to the disease. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Yeah, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of willag.org. Please do visit us online at willag.org. After about 6 o'clock this evening, you'll find our Commodity Week program there before it ever airs on any of our radio stations and affiliates at willag.org. Our guest this week, Dan Bossi. He's with Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. On the phone line now for a Friday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Doing lots of cleanup before we head into the harvest season?
We are getting ready for harvest, so we're checking gearboxes, cleaning out bins, watching the producers come in with samples out of the field.
Oh.
Trying not to get depressed looking at those samples that are coming in out of the field.
Okay.
But I'm a Cub fan, so I'm used to saying wait till next year.
Hey, you had a tough time up in your area last year, too, with samples, and it was a rough year for parts of the draw in your play in that part of the world, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the second year, and that area around Buckley is probably the hardest hit for 2 years in a row here.
What do the samples look like this year?
There's body pollination, smaller ears, a wide variety coming in from the different fields, but their tips aren't filled out on anything. So even the fields that have had some rain have problems, and it goes downhill from there.
Something that I think I saw in the Douglas County survey that was taken by the Farm Bureau folks earlier in the week that was a little unique was that it appeared that the samples had a whole from the same field would have a whole range of sizes of ears, so there'd be 14s and 16s and some 18s, but not many.
Yeah.
And are you seeing the same thing there, too?
Yeah, quite a bit of variability within a field.
Well, that probably can't be good at all, I would suppose. Tell me about basis in your area, please.
New crop basis is hanging in there. Historically, it's at a strong number, and I don't expect to see that back off. We're going to be able to put this crop away. Old crop basis, we're seeing back off. We've lost 10 cents a bushel on the old crop. And that's just a case that this new crop is getting pushed along. We're not worried about making it to new crop anymore. We're worried about how much we're going to have left over at the end of next year.
And that looks like a pretty small amount. When you started just over 700 million bushels, that's a pretty tight supply.
Yes, and looking at an average yield for Illinois, although it's down from what trend line is, that's still at 170, and I think most of my producers would trade their field for that.
Absolutely. Hey, what are your bids for the day?
We are at 722 on nearby corn, $7 even on fall delivery. Beans, 1329 and 1305.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He comes to us from Ludlow, Illinois on a Friday afternoon. So long to some of our radio stations. Back in 2 minutes with the weather for the rest of you.
It's National Toasted Almond Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1759, Thomas Andrew Knight was born. A British horticulturalist, he initiated the field of fruit breeding, and he investigated the use of greenhouses, plant nutrition, fertilization, and pest control. In 1812, Ephraim Ball was born. An American inventor, he was responsible for creation and manufacture of the Ball's Blue Plow. He also patented what was the first widely successful two-wheel flexible bar mower. In 1851, Isaac Singer was granted a patent for the first sewing machine with a double rocking treadle. In 1948, Harry Beardsley died. He invented stainless steel in 1912. The discovery of the steel, chromium, and nickel alloy revolutionized the cutlery industry. The added metals produced a surface much more rust-resistant than steel alone. And in 2004, Anthony John Clark died, an English molecular biologist. He was a founder of applying molecular technology to farm animals. In 1990, he was successful in producing a sheep giving milk with human proteins. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Illinois State Water Survey State Climatologist Jim Angel is with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time this afternoon. I know you looked back at the month of July, and while we're halfway through the month of August at this point, or not quite that far, but if you could, it was kind of a unique month. And from your perspective, can you tell us about it in Illinois?
Sure, Todd. If you look at July, it's probably no surprise to anybody. It was the sixth warmest on record. We had 80.1 degrees was the average temperature for the month, and that's 4.3 degrees above normal. So a very warm month, one of the warmest on records. Rainfall was all over the place. We had amounts up around Galena that were about 19 inches, and then you go over to Aledo in western Illinois, and they had 0.6 inches. So just a wide range of numbers. Here in Champaign, we had 1.6, so it was very dry here as well. And really, August is kind of turned out to be the same thing. Very warm temperatures. So far, we're running about 3 degrees above normal and about 50% of our normal August precipitation. So it's kind of drying out all over. And in fact, the U.S. Drought Monitor just put in moderate drought across the central part of the state.
And that extends all the way into Iowa, too, right?
That's right. It goes all the way from southeastern Iowa through central Illinois and on into Indiana.
Where across the state of Illinois and maybe in the Midwest do you think is the driest at this point?
Well, you know, I almost think central Illinois is probably some of the driest areas we've seen. Like I said, here in Champaign, we had 1.6 inches. I think Springfield had about an inch over the last month or so. So just have not had very much rain. And also, and that's combined with the high temperatures. That always increases the demand on water for crops. So that's kind of a 1-2 punch there. And in fact, we kind of call it a flash drought because it happens much faster than a normal drought would.
And then take a look, and you don't have to look very far, through tonight and tomorrow. How likely is this rainfall event to be very widespread, and how much precipitation?
Yeah, well, if you look at the radar right now, it's already raining in far western Illinois. I think that's going to move on into our area in central Illinois tonight and tomorrow. I'm cautiously optimistic that the rains will be fairly widespread, and the amounts, we have at least the potential of being about an inch and a half or more. But I suspect it's going to be kind of hit and miss in some areas, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But at least we've kind of gotten rid of the really hot temperatures. You know, it feels a little more like early fall out there with highs in the upper 70s and low 80s, and we've kind of gotten rid of some of that humidity.
Indeed it does. How often does an inch and a half rainfall come in the month of August?
Well, let's see. It's not too unusual to get that kind of amount. In fact, you know, in August, a lot of our rain comes through thunderstorms, so it's very much a hit or miss. We either get a lot of rain in a short period of time, or you get nothing at all. So that's kind of the challenge.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Commodity Week online at willag.org tonight.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.